Dear Dhamma friends, we have come to the second question and answer session in this Kalagoda English Medium retreat. So, Dila is ready with written questions. So, we'll begin with that.
Venerable Bhante, we have got a total of 6 questions.
Yeah.
All 5 are on basically the breath meditation.
Yes.
The 6th one, I'm not too sure it's on the external dimensions of females and how to get a message across. So somebody's asking for your advice.
Yeah, we'll see.
So I will start with the first question.
Yes.
Namo Buddhaya, Most Venerable Bhante. For the time being, I'm practicing cause and effect and sensation, ignoring things with pleasant mood, mindfully. So interesting. Ye chittang sanya metsanti. Ye chittang sanya metsanti. Frequently in the bottom of the heart, I feel so happy. Niramisa suya. So while being in this situation, can I do or can I practice khasina too? Please advise. Nibbana paccaya hotu suvapat vetva.
I think going in two directions. One is that when you are going ahead with this kind of, say, cause and effect, and more into vipassana, so that is where we are developing wisdom. So we can't do that without fair sort of basis of samatha. And again, your second question is, or the other side of the question is asking to develop kasina. Kasina also develops the samatha. Actually, kasina helps to concentrate your mind on one particular object, and actually it can go for material jhana and immaterial jhana, this rupavachara and arupavachara jhana. So there are advantages, but as far as I can see from your first part of the question, you already have the necessary amount of samatha, tranquility. So at this stage, if you are trying to develop kasina, I feel it might be counterproductive rather than you are going ahead with the vipassana. So I basically like to advise therefore you to continue with what you are going ahead, that is to continuation of your seeing things as they truly are, seeing that things are dependently arisen, and finding this cause and effect relationship. And these are more interesting, and if you deviate your attention to kasina, it can be counterproductive. And on the other hand, in order to develop kasina, you need to take a permanent notion of the kasina. You know, there's a, say for example, color kasina is there, so you need to again and again look at the again and again repeat the color to the mind. It is like conditioning the mind to have that sign in your mind. So it's a kind of a conditioning. So, but on the other hand, the vipassana, it is kind of a deconditioning, like unfolding. So it's kind of allowing the mind to free from all condition. So therefore, it's going little bit in opposite direction. So therefore, I feel you better continue with vipassana, because you have already developed fair amount of vipassana, and that indicates you already have enough concentration. So therefore, continue with that. So anyway, if you need to discuss further, feel free to ask questions. Otherwise, we are going to the next question.
Yeah. Venerable Bhante, when I do the sitting meditation, after few observations of the breath, I tend to move to a place where I don't have any thoughts. Soon there will be few thoughts coming in and out, and it will disappear. It feels like I'm observing a conversation between two separate entities. It goes for a while and the thought stops and my mind becomes lazy. I keep observing them as they are and they also disappear. I try going back to the breath, and then it repeats.
It repeats. Right. So, actually, if you are basically, you can basically you can continue with breath meditation, and in one stage you can turn your attention to mind. So it's not a issue, because as you know, breath meditation can be used to develop all four types of satipatthana, four types of foundations of mindfulness, that is kayanupassana, vedananupassana, cittanupassana, dhammanupassana. All can be practiced through anapanasati. So that's a very beautiful advantage that Buddha has shown in related to breath meditation. So if you, but anyway, Buddha warns, telling that till you develop enough mindfulness, don't turn your attention to cittanupassana, because if you prematurely turn your attention to cittanupassana, looking at the mind, then the kind of the tempting thoughts going on in the mind can distract yourself. They can capture you. They can take your attention totally to that, so you will be become sort of unmindful, bewildered with the commentary or the thoughts going on in the mind. But anyway, you can try and see whether you get caught to that or whether you can handle that situation. Basically, if you are in a position to handle it, you have to have enough mindfulness. So with this established mindfulness, you are watching the mind, the content of the mind. So it then appears like someone else's thoughts. It's not like very much attached your own thoughts like, but rather thoughts are thoughts, thoughts are there, but you are not getting caught up with this. You are not being a slave to these thoughts. So then you can see like a movie going on. There are certain thoughts arising and they show up, and then they go away, they disappear. Then again another thought arise, they little bit play a drama, and then again disappear. So like that, again and again, this series of thoughts can arise. More and more you become dispassionate of this process, so the time taken to disappear will reduce. That means the thoughts come, and without a delay, without spending long time, they disappear. Again they arise, then disappear. Again they arise and disappear. And then you may feel that your mind become more spacious. So less and less thoughts, you feel some equanimity, you feel some unentangled mind, spacious mind, less burdened, relaxed. So this kind of qualities will develop. So this is in a way very good stage in vipassana. So your inner chatter will reduce, and your sort of calmness, tranquility will increase. So, and again you will understand the situation, or understand what's going on really in the mind. So actually ultimately we have to get into the mind. So mind is the most interesting part in meditation. So as a advice to this question, I would say, so if, when you are watching your mind, if these thoughts start to disappear little earlier and earlier, so this dramatic part will reduce, then you are in a good side. On the other hand, when you are watching them, if you get caught up with them and you are supporting them, and they start to overwhelm you, then still you better be with anapanasati.
Third question, Venerable Bhante, with the progress in observing in-breath and out, passage of air mentioned yesterday, I noticed with breath, feeling of pointness at top middle of head, at palate, base of chest, stomach, other than tip of nostrils. Then feeling of pointness can be aware, moving gradually from head to stomach, focused, within brackets. Further, calmness and stillness improving. Sir, you commented on sati sampajanna, but meaning of sampajanna in practice and experience I could not comprehend except sati. Please let me know, above events are two in the path of progress of sati sampajanna. Am I to continue observing full movement of breath and along with above in my meditation practice? Thank you.
Yes. So typically we don't advise to follow the breath and see or sense the breath throughout the whole passage. Rather, we instruct to maintain your attention at the nostril, and that actually helps to develop some kind of a focus, develop some kind of a continuation, a maintenance of your attention at a particular time, at a particular place. So this is in a way very useful in the long run for vipassana, where you have to observe a kind of a phenomena for a long time. Say for example, there's a pain available at your knee, and you have to keep your attention there, and you have to spend say fairly long time to observe that very pain. It may be arising, changing, going to another place, it's changed its focus, and like that there are many changes happening into this pain, and you have to patiently keeping your attention at that place. You have to watch that for a long time in order to understand the various facets of this pain. So we are getting skills being developed for this process in Anapanasati. Say Anapanasati, say you are maintaining your attention at the nostril, and you are just keeping attention there without following the breath. So for example, in-breath happens. So before in-breath, you have nothing to observe. And then the beginning of the in-breath happens, then the middle of the in-breath happens, then the end of the in-breath happens, then again there is nothing to observe, so you feel like kind of a little gap. Because you are still maintaining your attention here, at the nostril. Only the sensations occurring at the nostril is your focus. Nothing in the passage of the, say, this respiration, whatever the ducts, you are not going to that, or even to the abdomen, you are not going to that, even to the lungs, you are not going to that. Rather, you keep your attention at the nostril. And again, now suppose the out-breath begins, so again, the beginning of the out-breath, then the middle of the out-breath, then the ending of the out-breath. So after that, still nothing to observe. So you are just maintaining your attention at the nostril, so you may feel little gap, kind of a space. Then again the beginning of the in-breath, the next in-breath. So this is how we have to maintain. So therefore Buddha refers mindfulness as like a gatekeeper. So gatekeeper's task is to stay at the gate and check whoever is coming. So he has to be there rather than going inside with the visitor or going outside with the going away visitor. So that's the part of the gatekeeper. So we have to maintain some similar approach when you are developing Anapanasati. There's another question, the other part in that question.
No, it's about the pain also, that I notice with breath feeling of pointness at the top, middle of the head, at the palate, base of chest, stomach, other than tip of nostrils.
Yeah, so this actually it may be possible to feel these various things, but better keep your attention at the nostrils. So this is the most healthy place, because if you are keeping your attention towards the inside of the head, so in the long run you might come across some difficulties. So therefore so yogis and the teachers have found maintaining your attention at the nostril is the best option.
So the main question is, please let me know, above events are in the path and progress of sati sampajanya.
And the difference is asking about the sampajanya and the sati. So basically sati, mindfulness, refers to establishing your attention in the present moment in a, whatever the given object. So typically that is how we start. But the information what you are able to understand in this object vary. At the beginning you might feel only kind of a little sensation. For example, it's a little pain and you are not seeing much of it. But still you are in the present moment. You know now it is there is a pain. You are not in the past, not in the future, but with the pain. So your mindfulness has established. More and more you develop, then the sampajanya, clear comprehension improves, so that you can see that this pain is not just a single unit, rather it's a bunch of little pains. So each and every pain, little pains, participate into this big feeling. But it is not a single feeling, but a little collection of painful feelings. So you can see this detail once your clear comprehension, that is the sampajanya, develops. So these are actually two parts. So we have to establish mindfulness. So once your mindfulness is well established, so you can observe clearly and closely what is going on, then your comprehension, clear comprehension, sampajanya improves.
Fourth.
Yeah, one moment, yes. Mindfulness and awareness. So fairly, I also feel they are fairly similar, but awareness seems to be a little broader than mindfulness. Awareness, as per your understanding, what do you think? Yeah. So could you come forward, please?
Yeah, Sukhi Hotu.
Yeah.
I too agree with you, Bhante, but I can't exactly remember once Gampaha famously Thero,
yes,
when differentiating between the two, said that awareness is more towards the just the present, the single event, whereas mindfulness is a continuous sort of process. So I'm a bit confused about that.
Right. So anyway, what are the Pali terms he used for these two sides? Mindfulness is sati, awareness what?
That
you can't remember now. Sorry? No. No, manasikara can't be considered as awareness. Manasikara is typically translated as attention.
Attention.
And that has difference, actually. Even last time we discussed the difference between manasikara and sati. So that is the attention and mindfulness, there's a difference. But on the other hand, awareness and mindfulness are very close. But awareness is, as far as I can understand, a little broader. But mindfulness may be kind of a focused, and we are selecting a particular object, and that is the beginning of mindfulness. But it also sort of expand. So mindfulness does not remain at the same stage forever, but it also evolves. So awareness again may be little effortless. So mindfulness maybe have some kind of involvement of effort. So yes, please. Yeah. Sure. Yes.
I read that awareness. Mm-hmm. In fact, some define mindfulness as awareness that arises by paying attention on purpose, non-judgmentally.
Yes.
So, in other words, what they say is, in fact, I asked the question from a neurologist who is a Buddhist teacher.
Yeah.
He said, really, when we are paying attention, it is mindfulness, we see inner mind, you know, our thoughts, feelings, and sensation. So, it is the awareness of thoughts, feelings, and sensations. Mm-hmm. That is how they say it.
I also come across this definition related to the mindfulness. Yeah. I think Jon Kabat-Zinn. So he's he's defining mindfulness as paying attention and keeping your attention non-judgmentally. And so he refers like that. But on the other hand, some others actually argue. So because sometimes mindfulness has judgmental. So rather than being non-judgmental at the initial phase, it has to have some judgment. So, say for example, you want to keep your attention at the breath. So there are many other objects available. So you are not selecting them, rather you again and again taking your attention to the breath. Mm-hmm. And again, but later on, say for example, breath and many other objects are available, so you are giving equal attention to all of them. So then at that situation, kind of choiceless awareness. So then it is somewhat, we can say, non-judgmental as well.
Yes.
So therefore some actually argue it is that in the mindfulness development, that we can't say that the whole process is free from judgment, but the non-judgmental attribute comes only at a particular stage. But at the beginning, you may have to have a kind of a judgment. So there may be wholesome states, there may be unwholesome states. So at that time, you have to select the wholesome state. You have to neglect, discard unwholesome state. So we have to use the judgment. So but later, once your mind develop, wholesome state and the unwholesome state has equal value. Say for example, in the Chittanupassana state, wholesome and unwholesome state has equal value. So at that time, we can clearly say it is non-judgmental. So like that, people argue with that definition.
That's very correct, I suppose. Yeah. Because we can't say that something is good or bad.
Yes.
It is non-judgmental.
Yes, yes.
Accept as it is. Accept whatever comes as it is.
Yes, so yeah. that is non-judgmental, choiceless awareness.
Yes,
so actually that we can't begin our meditation or mindfulness practice from there.
Yes,
so in order to begin, we have to go for bare attention. Yeah. Kind of a very easy type of thing. Say when you are, say, left or whatever the leg is touching, so you are keeping your attention there and you are trying to just maintain your attention there. Without going to the past, without going to the future, and just in the present moment. So you are in a way, there also you are judging.
Yes.
So past and future is available, yes. you have to neglect them.
Yes.
And you have to come to the present. So like that, if we are stricting ourselves to a particular definition on mindfulness, so then we are narrowing down the scope. But on the other hand, in the Buddha's term, so as you know, 37 Bodhipakkhiya Dhamma, enlightenment factors. So they are mindfulness, as far as I can remember, appears on 8 places. So in the 4 Satipatthana, there are 4 places. In the 5 Indriya, 1 place. Then 5 Bala, another place. And then Sapta Bojjhanga, another place. And Arashtanga Margaya, that is the Noble Eightfold Path, another place. So likewise, there are 8 places mindfulness appear. Sati happens. But every time, it is with some different stage. It is not the beginning stage that appears at the another stage. So it's a kind of an evolving process. So therefore you can't have a single definition for mindfulness. So it is an evolving quality. So we may start with one quality and more we develop, it's evolving to another stage. Yeah. So okay.
And also Bhante, now when meditation is concerned,
yes.
You can be non-judgmental, particularly regarding Chittanupassana.
Yes.
You do not judge. But in practical life, of course, you have to be judgmental because you have to avoid unethical things.
Yes.
So throughout, you have to be
definitely.
Judgmental.
Yes. Yeah. That's why wholesome and unwholesome, you have to select wholesome.
That's it.
True.
Throughout.
True. Yes.
Thank you,
Bhante.
Venerable Bhante, this is the 4th question. Is it necessary to do Chaturarakshaka Bhavana every day before we do Anapanasati meditation?
It is not a must, but basically it depends on the circumstance. Suppose your mind is really agitated and it's in an angry mood. So if you are at that time, if you try to develop Anapanasati, you might improve your anger. So therefore better not to try Anapanasati, rather you can go for something else, like you can go for walking meditation, you can go for metta, or you can go for Buddhanusati. Likewise, you have to use some kind of another technique to calm down yourself. Then you can start Anapanasati. Suppose your mind is boiling with, heated up with lust. At that time also, Anapanasati might not be much successful. There you can use another technique, say asubha or something like that, so that you can take your mind back to the middle. Again, if you don't have much of energy to practice, then Buddhanusati, Maranasati may be useful. So likewise, these four guardian meditations have their different benefits. Say metta helps to overcome anger and develop some kind of a positive feeling. And Buddhanusati helps again to develop faith and to develop some joy. Then Maranusati helps to have some urge for practice and to sort of improve effort. Then Asubha helps to remove lust. So basically, likewise, each and every this meditation's object has different advantages, benefits. So therefore, depending your state of mind, select what you need. And then you can go for Anapanasati. Suppose you are in a very good mood, in a very light mind, and you are joyful, and there is no any burning defilement, then you can immediately go to Anapanasati. So therefore, Anapanasati is taking you for a long journey. So therefore, you can spend more time with that. So rather than spending a lot of time on these four types of meditation, rather spend more time on Anapanasati.
Okay, the fifth question. Venerable Bhante, when the breath becomes very subtle and disappears, I feel alarmed. What do I do at that time? Thank you.
You feel alarmed?
Alarmed.
Right. So probably you can keep an oxygen cylinder close to you. So basically that is where we have to have some restraint, because as you know, Buddha advised at that stage, Passambhayam kaya sankharam asa sissamiti sikkhati. Passambhayam kaya sankharam asa sissamiti sikkhati. So sikkhati means you have to restrain. We have to restrain ourselves when breath disappears, when breath calms down. When breath becomes subtler and subtler, still we have to allow it to happen. If you have too much attachment to the body, too much concern, what would happen if the amount of oxygen will reduce? Will I get chest pain? Will I get died or something like that? You can't continue the process. So you have to let it happen. So body will take care of its health. So you don't need to involve. So you have to let go. Let the process happen. You mind your own business. So you have to let the process happen. So body knows exactly what is the necessary amount of air, necessary amount of oxygen it needs. So basically, please understand, when mind is agitated, you need a lot of oxygen. But when mind is very calm, serene, tranquil, it's just a maintenance of the body. So it will take care of its own health. It will take care of all its own sustenance. So you don't need to worry at all about the breath. So that is where we have to be careful. We have to restrain ourselves. Even breath calms down. Even breath becomes subtler and subtler. Let it calm down. You don't put your hand and jam the process. Don't put your hand and disturb the process, but let it calm down. So that is a skill actually. At the beginning you may have these kind of problems, but later you slowly let it happen. So more and more your mind settles, more and more your body settles. More and more your mind settles, less and less air needed. So your body will take care of its own health. And you later will have to worry about the mind or look at the mind, and body you have to simply neglect. I mean, neglect means only that at that time you don't need to worry about the body at all. So please don't be afraid and just continue. Yes. Yeah. So that's all.
So that's all, Venerable Bhante, because the other question is not quite relevant. So yeah. We have edited it.
Okay.
So people can ask.
Yes.
Questions.
So if you have any other question, please, this time is available.
Venerable Bhante, now we understand that life is impermanent and we are bodies getting decayed every moment, and so that is understood, then we realize. However, I have now I can remember first thing. Now, when we want to do loving kindness meditation, we do that, and then we know this is exactly what we have to do now, and we do it. Then even compassionate sin. Now, is there something for people to realize? Because some don't realize. They think they are going to live forever. So something like that, you know. I can remember at Vipassana Center, Vijayarama Mavata, I'm not sure which Vante was giving the sermon. At that moment, he mentioned that really we have to think when we die, really imagine you have died and you are in the coffin, things like that. So I can still remember that. But thing is, before going to that stage, now for someone who is not convinced, motivated, if we say that, they are going to get, not going to listen to them. So is there any other way we can put it? Because in fact, I talk to a lot of people, you know, who are 65, 70 and older than me, all that. They just think it is going to be like that. And so I wonder whether there is anything. And second thing is, as Dhamma school, when I was going to Dhamma school, we were asked to do this, kesa loma naka danta tato, tato danta naka loma kesa. I don't know the meaning, we just by heart and then said like parrot. It was like ashwasa prashwasa, you know, same thing. So what is the meaning of that? Why we were taught that that time?
Right. So as the first question, actually it is the kind of ignorance we all have. So when we are, especially when we are young or in a kind of a prime youth age, so we have some motivations, lust and different objectives in our life. So we completely forget that life is impermanent, that we can even die at any given time. So like that, these things we never think. So therefore we neglect these things. And on the other hand, some people are so focused on earning and again getting things to themselves, and very selfish kind of attitude. So they also neglect, so they don't even understand that they are going to die. So that's the way it is. So Buddha also has mentioned that people don't come to Dhamma at the same level. Say for example, in one sutta he is explaining that Some wise people are there. Suppose he is living in a particular village. Another villager is going through some issue. Suppose he passed away suddenly or something like that has happened. So immediately this wise person understands. So this can happen to him as well. Therefore he come to the Dhamma. But another person does not, that the same event is not that create much of an impact on that person. But another incident, say a relation dies and he may go through some kind of a calamity. So then there's another wise person, he understand, okay, my so-and-so has passed away, and then it can come to me. And when such a relative passed away or go through some difficulty, then he come to Dhamma. But there's for another person, still that does not matter. For another person, suppose it's a very beloved close relation, pass away or go through some difficulty, cancer or something like that, it's a kind of an eye-opening for him. Then he come to Dhamma. But for another person, it still doesn't matter. So then what happens is, some problem, some issue, cancer or something like that happened to himself. Then somehow suppose he recover from that, then he come to Dhamma. So Buddha says this is the situation of people. So some are kind of very, very wise. So even to a distant person, when something happens, he immediately understands it can happen to him as well. So he comes towards the Dhamma. But to another person, it has to happen to himself. Then only his eyes open. Yeah. So this is the way that people are behaving. So it can't help. So the mind matures And opening happens with time, and they also till that they become completely ignorant and simply going with the typical trend of the society. That's the way it is. So your next question, that kesa loma nakadanta tacho, so that is actually the first 5 parts of the 32 parts asubha bhavana. So typically that is one of the again we can say one asubha bhavana also helps to overcome lust, and at the same time we consider this body belongs to me and it is so beautiful and it lasts forever. So like that we identify with the body, but when we see body as different parts, so this identification and this kind of compactness breaks. So ultimately we feel okay, kesa, loma, naka, danta, tacho, like that different parts are being available. So there is no one unit, there is no one compact body, rather it's a combination of various objects, combination of various body parts. So then this compactness breaks. So therefore it does not stop there. Kesa loma naka danta tacho is the first 5 parts. Then we are coming to the next 5 parts. So likewise it is nicely categorized, and so that it is easy to contemplate. Yes. So yes.
Just a dumb question that I want to get a
yes.
little explanation.
Yes.
In relation to Patijasampada,
yeah.
What is the meaning of tatata, avitatata and anyatata?
Anyatata, yes. Yeah, it's a very interesting question. So Buddha says in Patijasampada, actually the Patijasampada, the very essence of Patijasampada is the principle of Patijasampada. That is called idappacceta. Imasmin sati idang hoti, imasuppada idang uppajjati. Imasmin asati idang na hoti, imassa nirodha idang nirujjati. Imasmin sati idang hoti, imasuppada idang uppajjati. That means, when this available, that also available. When this arises, that arises. Imasmin asati idang na hoti, imassa nirodha idang nirujjati. The opposite side. When this does not exist, that also does not exist. With the cessation of this, that also cease. So that's a very kind of the principle, core principle. There are examples for this principle. For example, avijja paccha sankhara. That means when avijja, ignorance is available, sankhara, the formations happens. With the arising of the ignorance, formations also arise. So you can't avoid that. So with the rising of the ignorance conditions, the formations are dependently arisen. So therefore there's a relationship between the ignorance and the formations, avijja and the sankhara. Similarly, say for example vijnana and namarupa, so there's a relationship. When the vijnana exists, then the namarupa also exist, and the arising of the vijnana, then the namarupa also arise. On the other hand, when vijnana ceases, nama rupa also ceases. So that is the relationship. And Buddha says this cannot change. This is the tatata. This is the tatata, avitatata, ananyatata. So as far as I can remember, tatata, this is the truth. This is the way it is. Avitatata, it does not change. Ananyatata, it can't be otherwise. This is a kind of a principle. This is a law. It can't change. Even with the rising of the Buddha, it is there. Even without a Buddha, it is there. It's a principle. It is not that Buddha has created this or something like that. It's a law. It's a nature. These two links are dependently arisen, and that is there. So Buddha is the one who reveals this principle. So he understands these principles, and he then teaches the Dhamma. Okay, there's this kind of a beautiful relationship, and it is there. So he shows that. And no one can deny it, no one can refuse it, no one can properly, with facts, deny it. So it's a non-fact. So that's a tatata, avitata, ananyatata. So like that, he emphasized this principle. Yes, yes. Yeah, interesting.
It's actually a continuation of my question I asked earlier.
Yes.
As you said, it feels like a movie, like I'm watching a movie and then all the thoughts kind of disappears, and then and after like maybe 10-15 minutes, I feel like there's nothing, like the mind is
not blank.
Blank. I'm like lazy or like feel sleepy, then I think about that. Then it also...
You think about that.
Think in the sense I say the lazy thought came, and then as I think, I just say it, and then it goes away. It's all still, and I'm not sure
what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's like, should I continue the breath or just... stay and watch
the thought. So this is a matter of sort of the understanding. So as you know, it is we are the one supporting thoughts. So if we are not supporting thoughts, so they don't have their own strength to continue. So they appear or they arise due to some causes, but we are giving the fertilizer. Our ignorance, our supporting, our lust, hatred, delusion, these are the fertilizers we are pumping. Then they stay longer. Suppose we are not doing this task, then what happens is they arise and they have their own course of life, and then they disappear. This is what we are doing now. We are not supporting this ongoing thought pattern. Rather, you simply become a neutral observer. Then they arise and they disappear. Then again they arise and they disappear. So more and more you do it, so they lose their strength. So they appear like distant at the bay. So then more and more they arise and pass away, and they no more bothers you. Right? So then there can be a situation there is no thought even. So at that time, don't put your attention to breath. Don't put your attention to any other pain. So to anything. Just keep mind empty if possible. So then you are going to a different paradigm where you are simply observing thoughts going and arising and passing away. Even there you look at how they are passing away. Thoughts are arising and passing away, give more significance to this passing away, how they are passing away. They are arising, passing away, passing away. So you are observing the passing away side. And more you look at that, so your mind become more spacious. The distance between thoughts become more and more. So likewise, the mind become calm, empty. There is nothing there. So just be with this emptiness. So if there are no thoughts, don't invite them. So you have a question, what next, what I'm going to do. So just be with this emptiness. You know, emptiness is one advanced stage in vipassana. So you can't come to emptiness without understanding arising and passing away, or without understanding impermanence, suffering and unself. So your mind has to have more maturity in order to come into this stage. So, but once you reach that stage, if you don't know what to do, if you are trying to do something, then you don't know what to, that is you don't know the path. So, and once you reach this stage, you have to do nothing. So, you have to just be. So, let the mind to be spacious, still, calm, empty, free. And you just try to maintain that. See how long you can maintain it. Suppose you can maintain that for 5 minutes. And now another thought coming. And you just see it. It is coming and then also disappear. You didn't support, it will disappear. Another 5 minutes, no thought. Stay there. So likewise, you develop more and more calmness, and ultimately with this practice, you may feel very lazy. So you may feel kind of lethargic, and you don't like to even move your hand. You are just watching. Nothing is there. Just watching. and you don't even like to get up, something like that. So it can happen. This is an indication of growth. So at these stages, so the appearance of this laziness is something useful. It has to be developed. It is not sloth and torpor that we are talking in five hindrances. So here this lethargic nature, this laziness, is something happen because there is no agitation in the mind. You know, for the mind to be waked up, typically we have to have, every time it has to be tortured by various objects. So lust is coming and torturing it, so it is awake. Anger is coming and torturing it, so it is awake. Delusion is coming and torturing it, so it is awake. But now, nothing is there. So it will feel really boring. So nothing to do. So what am I going to do? So you are asking. So you do nothing. So just be. You know that children are telling, so you have nothing to do, just be. Yeah, so then if there is no any other question, we'll wind up the session. So we'll meet again at 4 p.m. for Dhamma Sermon. Thank you very much.